All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, and welcome back to another fantasy fishing episode. First, I got to shout out the captain, who unfortunately cannot be here tonight, but I will say thank you to the captain for holding down the fort when I was gone and had literal, I think he was told at 8:02 last week for the Harris chain that I was, my computer basically said, nope, you're not doing fantasy fishing tonight, and decided to not cooperate. But thankfully, it was just an update and nothing worse than that. Just figured out that it needed an update at the wrong time. So unfortunately, we're without the captain tonight. We are Sheikinless and we are Chapmanless. So you guys are stuck with Boomer, myself, and our masked man here in the top right-hand corner who doesn't want to show his face after this event, which nope. I think I'm in the same bucket. So, fellas, masked man, do you want to go first?
As far as picks or?
No, your Harris chain recap.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah, it was bad. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Well, I think first and foremost, while you're doing that, huge shout out to John Garrett, who's been on the show several times, for the win. It's cool seeing guys that, like, we said it a couple times on the show, but there's, I think we all have appreciation and respect for all the anglers, but sometimes there's guys like him and a Gussie and Hamner that win, that it's like that there's just an added excitement for the good guys. You know, I think the amount of respect that the whole trail has for a guy like John Garrett, who's been doing it the right way, that's been so close to making elites for so many years, and to see him finally make it in three events in, gets his first blue trophy, I think people just see that all that work come full circle, and I gotta say it's pretty damn cool to watch him hoist that trophy, and especially the way he was catching him too, which we'll get into a little bit. But
dominant win, dominant.
Yeah. What was the? Actually, I should have it up here.
It was 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Had it done. What was his line? I actually just saw before the show, Ronnie Moore reposted it. But his line was like, when he caught that 7-pounder, he's like, this fish is about as big as the trophy that'll win me or come with it or something like that. Just epic mic drop of a line on live. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, that was pretty clutch.
Yeah. No kidding. He was cranking, mostly cranking, I feel like, the first couple of days. But then he switched up to a hair jig when things got slow and slack calm.
Old school.
A deer tail. One looked like it was custom made.
Yeah. Yeah. He did say that on live. Was it day three? I think he said that on live, yep. Where he was like, oh, a deer tail. And then he sniffs it and he goes, oh, it smells like deer.
It's pretty dope.
Pretty. It makes you wonder. Actually, I want to ask him. Obviously, we're not going to get in touch with him tonight. His phone is probably blowing up to Kingdom Come, but. If that means he made it, like, did he make that himself? I'd be very intrigued to see, but he was laying the lumber to him on those things.
Yeah. It was cool. He lost a really big one on day three too. And that looked really, I don't know what it looked like, but it was a monster. You know what I mean? I was
right.
Thought that once he figured that out, it was kind of over, because before then it kind of looked like he might be losing the momentum. Like it was just starting to, like, oh no, I think JT's going to be able to catch him. And then he pulled that thing out, and I think it was three or four casts in a row, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think cool. He had a
limit. I only got to see a little bit of it, but
yeah. He had, like, I think a limit for like 10 pounds in the first like 30 minutes, it seemed. But it definitely, like, he said it on live. He goes, these fish, they're gone. I don't know where they're at. We've lost the hat. We lost the hat for the masked man. But then he's
like, I have to hold it up.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't want to promote Hobie Eyewear. Yeah. As bad as I did.
Your French sponsors are going to walk away from your. Yeah. I'm losing the portfolio.
This is like switching.
Sport fans that show up when their team's doing bad with paper bags on their face, and they still go.
Yup, this is switching gears a little bit. But what was Trey doing? Was he in those actual canals, like at the locks, catching those fish?
No, he caught one out of the lock, which there was a little big hubbub about. But it's one of the only locks without a sign that says no fishing. But he was okay. In Griffin. He was fishing the. He was out. It looked like he was on docks the second day. I think I saw a little bit of that. It was kind of cool. In and around some of the docks stuff. But then today he was out, like chasing.
Yeah, around. He did a mix. He did a mix a couple things. Gotcha. He had looked like grass or brush that he was fishing offshore. But the first day it seemed like he got a good amount of fish out of that lock, which, yes, definitely caused some drama. Which I don't understand fully, so we're not even going to get into it because I don't want to say anything that's not true. But then he had that. He did have docks to – seemed like each day he would end at the docks. But one of the – so I think John Garrett had a cool pattern because he's using mainly 360 to, like, just see where he's casting, and then after that he was just fishing, which I think is cool and appreciated nowadays. But – one of the coolest bites I think that was awesome to watch was Brandon Lester the first couple of days throwing a swim jig dirt shallow on windblown banks. That was freaking fun to watch.
I thought he was going to – he saved my team, but I thought – there was no way I thought he wasn't going to be in the top 10. I bet he wishes he could have had today back a little bit. You know what I mean? I think he missed it by two places, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he just barely missed it. I think he was 12th or something like that.
Yeah, Porosnik was 11th.
Yeah, after a 10-pounder on the last day, skyrocket up there. But it was definitely a cool event. I mean, we saw going into it that it was looking pretty bleak in regard to the Harris Chain. A lot of guys are saying it was horrible. There was a fish kill. There weren't going to be that many fish caught. And I definitely think it was a struggle. Yeah, like the weights definitely were seemingly low, but I think it was cool to watch different patterns at play, you know, guys fishing the canal system, watching KJ Queen, how he was catching them. You know, he was sight fishing fish that might've some were spawning, but he also said some were literally just cruising the bank that he was sight fishing. And that was cool to kind of see him break that down. And he lost a couple great big ones too, but there was the offshore bite. There was a cranking bite. There was a punching bite with Brad Watley. That was a fun one to watch too. Shallow swim jigging, like it was a whole conglomerate of things that were going on, which was really entertaining. But
and I'm happy that Harris isn't dead. It may be down a bit, but it's there's still dead. Some great big ones there. It's not dead. That, like, contrary to the talks ahead of time.
You can knock her down, but you can't take her out.
No, it's such a good fishery.
It is. And it was cool to see the Florida fishery outside of spawn, which there was some of that still going on. But I think it was a cool time where you saw a whole variety of different things happening where guys could go fish how they wanted to fish. So Michael Bradley here says, who was throwing that big glide bait? I think there was a few guys. I think JT, out of the top 10 anyway, JT was throwing it. Trey was throwing one, I think, day one. And then I wanted to say there was one other one, but I can't recall. But there was a couple guys still in the glide. Ron Gaten says, dude, Tyler Williams is the man. Tyler Williams is making a lot of freaking fans right now. Just being a goof, straight up goof. And I absolutely love it.
I saw him with a jerk bait today. Did you see that?
Yeah. It looked like what's that?
I haven't seen him with a jerk bait all year.
Did you hear him on stage? Was cool. He was like, He was pumping his new color of a jig that is for sale. And he's like, man, I love catching him on a jig. I caught him on a jig here. He goes, but I caught him on a jerkbait today. I don't know if they should count. I think only the jig fish should count. But he definitely won some fans over, man. And the clip of him when it was – he went to put a fish in the box, and his cooler was so hot in his boat that he was like prancing around because he doesn't never wear shoes. So he goes up on the front deck, takes a water bottle, pours it all over his front deck to like make his feet cooler, and then sits down forgetting that he just poured a whole water bottle down. Oh, it's awesome. Sam Axe says, just got here. What's with the bag?
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to show my face. Sorry.
We should all be wearing a bag every time Sheikin's on here because we're embarrassed to be involved with Sarah Deacon.
Oh, I know. And we're getting our butts kicked by him. He's leading both Drain the Lake and.
Yeah. He's cheating.
Yeah, so, Sarah's kind of in answer to that question, I can go over my picks for last week and where these guys ended up. So I picked, the lineup sounds really good on paper. Group A, I had Patrick Walters. I had Luke Palmer in Group B. Brian Schmidt, Scott Martin, and Joey Cifuentes. And let's see, who is my best finisher? Best finisher, where is it? Walters, 62nd. then Martin, 69th. Then Schmidt, 84th. 88th for Luke Palmer, and 97th for Joey Cifuentes. So,
yeah.
Don't listen to me.
Yeah, the only one you guys should listen to on this next one is going to be Boomer, because so Justin had a grand total of 571
points. Yeah, a monkey could have picked better than me.
There was not one check cashed in your lineup.
Nope, not a one.
Well, it doesn't get much better, Boomer, because there wasn't in mine either. I had a whopping 650 points, the worst I've ever done. So I started out, I had Jay Shakurit, who after day one was in 33rd. I had Pat Schlapper, was in 58th. Brian Schmidt, 51. Scott Martin, 43rd. Caleb Kufall, which I'm shocked Kufall did not find that flipping bite. Maybe he did day two, but he was in 101st after day one. Had a good day with 15 pounds day two, got up to 75th. But at the end of the event, there was a 61st, 69, 84, 69. Oh, Scott and Schlepper tied. And Caleb Kufall was 75, 75th. But when you tell me, you look at this lineup of Kufall with a flipping bite, Scott Martin living in Florida, Brian Schmidt always seeming to do well in Florida, Schlepper on a bender right now, seemed like he just had the momentum going, and Shakurit just freaking catches him everywhere. Never in my life would you tell me all those guys would be 60 and above. So it was a weird week. I saw some rosters that were like, yeah, those guys should crush on the Harris chain, and then just didn't happen. So I said 571. Is that possible?
Yes, it is, Ron. Yes, it is.
Here's a good question here. So team South Florida Fishing said, what happened to Bob Downey? He didn't even fish. So yes, it didn't fish. That sucks. But the good news is for Bob, we all love Bob. Great dude. Amazing angler. He had a kid. His baby was born on Wednesday. So he did not fish that event. But congrats to the Downey family on adding a new member. And that actually kind of factored into why he had to leave the Classic early. So some people saw him zero day two and three. That is why, because he actually had a good start to the Classic anyway. At least he was going to make on track to make day three. Bob was a good dad and came back north to stay with his wife. They welcomed a new member to the fam. So unfortunately couldn't fish, but I'm sure he'll be at St. John's, I would think. Or he might just be like, I already got a zero. We're going to take another zero and see what happens next year. But kudos to Bob. Sucked it up on this event for me anyway. But Boomer on the flip side still had over 1,000 points. Give us a quick rundown.
So I was traveling, but I'm not gonna give you like I just crushed it. I was driving home from getting my butt kicked in the first BAM Pro Tour event down in Yuma, and I literally saw that I had to have them in and just as fast as I could, just banged him in there. But I took Bryant, and it's only because I know Bryant had been there. I took Liv C, which I have no idea why I picked him. Like, I still don't even get it. But he just, like, all of a sudden just did great. Lester hasn't been having a great year, but that was a good finish for him. But he always kind of does good. I think it opened down there, yeah. Benton was the only outlier. I'm kind of surprised. I thought maybe with a looking type tournament. I know a couple guys took him. And then it's pretty hard to beat Chris Johnson right now. It's hard to not take him in our next pick we're going to go through. But he won that, whatever that, I can't remember what they call that open, the no practice, no forward imaging deal. He won that. And so he was a good savior too, yeah.
Well, and it seems like the Johnsons, or even for the most part, Canadians or Midwesterners, do well in Florida. But I heard a lot of guys saying Harris is just no grass anymore.
Yeah. Well, I almost won a tournament down there. The first time MPFL was down there, because I found the only grass they didn't kill. And it carried me for 3 days. I'm not kidding. So there's a grass flat that was amazing. And I guess they went and killed it 2 weeks before we got there, but they didn't kill the stuff they couldn't see. And I found the stuff that was just under the surface that didn't get sprayed. And all the fish that were on that flat before they sprayed it just went to this one little, you know, like I wish I could say I put this massive pattern together, but it was literally two clumps of grass and you could just keep casting to it. When they ate, they were huge. But Bryant was down there and he said, "I checked your grass patch. It's not there."
It's not there. It's all. He goes,
"It's gone." The two clubs are no more.
They're getting pretty proficient with the sprayer gun. He said, "They find that stuff and mow through it." He said, "I talked to him today. He said it was like so. You got these guys that are really good fishermen that didn't do really good. And I talked to Brandon and Brian today, but both of them said that you could be doing the right thing, but you could be so far off the mark." You know what I mean? Could just be, there was areas it was just dead. And at that place, this fish is big, I think. And the reason I think the Midwestern, the Northern guys do better, because it's the same for us Northwest guys. When we go down to Florida, we generally do pretty good. And I think it's because you eliminate the depth. You know what I mean? And a lot of the offshore guys love that they can go out and they're only in 10 feet of water. They're already kind of used to it. You take away that depth. You take away so much of what we're used to digging through. And so it's everything shallow, but Harris always does. The Northern guys always do good. Remember the FLW that I think it was Gussie Johnston. It was on Harris. Was it an FLW? I think it was an FLW, but like the Canadians, all three of them were in the top 10. But yeah, they had grass.
I want to say Chris won that, didn't he?
He did. Gussie led it and Chris won it, but they all found it together and they just smashed them.
So, anyways. Well, to round it out anyway, great. It was a fun event to watch from a fan standpoint. But rounding out our fantasy fishing group, because we'll start and get into St. John's River here, is a tough event for Brennan as well. He had 621 points. So I don't know how with 653 that I still beat two people in our group. That just, I think, goes to show how much of a hard event that this turned out to be. A lot of guys that were expected to do well flopped. But right now, with standings, our group kind of something shook up pretty good, too. Sarah Deacon is leading right now with 4,382 points. And second is the captain with 4,153 points. And third is Mr. Boomer with 4,120. I'm in fourth with 3,982. Justin is in fifth with 3,723, and Brennan is almost a good event behind Deacon at 3,509 points. So definitely a big shakeup for this event, and there's going to be a lot of work to do to try to get back up there. But an event like this where you get below 700 points definitely hurts big time and puts you in a big hole for this one. But with Drain the Lake, we won't go in through our picks or anything like that. We'll give an update to the standings. Andy pulled me last year. For folks that were tuning in last year, the first event of the year, I had taken my picks off for live so that I wouldn't give away my whole roster and forgot to actually put my picks up. So I had a big fat zero. Andy pulled me because he did that last week for Drain the Lake and never put his picks in. So unfortunately, Andy has a goose egg, but we'll try to see if we can do the math right and like we did for myself last year. See if we can get him an update on that. But as of right now, standings are Deacon in the lead. Sarah is leading with 6,766. I'm in second with 6,630. Brennan is 8 points behind me in third. Boomer, you are 50 points behind Brennan in fourth. Justin, you are 700 behind him in fifth, and Andy's 400 behind you in sixth. And I can see, watching you laugh in the paper bag shake is hilarious right now.
All you can see is teeth.
Yes, yeah. That's it. It reminds me of that. Do you guys remember the talking orange or whatever it was back in the day with Vine? It was the orange that somebody would overlay their face onto. But it was the funniest. It was my childhood. That's what it is. That's all I can think about when I see your paper bag. Oh, man. But either way, it's definitely going to make things interesting going into the rest of the season. I know it's definitely going to change up how I go out and make some of these picks, because we're going to have to make some things different than Deacon to try to catch up and hope that he has a bad event. If we're there, you go. Matt Boyd fishing. Annoying orange. That's the one. Thank you.
Annoying orange.
So it's going to make things interesting strategy wise for a couple of us that are going to try to make a run at the fantasy fishing side of things. So with so what we got, 1, 2, 3, we got 6 events left. So it can happen. Long season ahead. We're not even halfway there. Yes. The annoying. There we go. All right. I'm not just the only one that watches it. Sam says annoying orange. My son watches it. Good to know that kids are still living it up these days. All right. So St. John's River, I think the first takeaway I have for this event is it's a completely different time of year that I can recall bass going to the St. John's River. And especially, and they might have back in like 13 or 14, but I can't remember recall what time of year that was. But even though, even if it was the same time of year, St. John's River is a whole new landscape. And I think you heard a lot of guys talk about it a couple years ago. Was just everything's changed about it in regards to no grass and blaming on hurricane or spraying, whatever. But it's going to be a whole new fishery. So I'm really intrigued to see. It might be a whole even playing field for this one. But I don't know. What have you been hearing, Boomer?
Well, I think the biggest thing is almost every time they've been there, it's been a spawn deal because it's one of the first stops, if not the first stop every year. I think this is, I think even if it stayed the same, you got a completely different. I mean, you're probably, I don't think a lot of guys will be looking at them, but we are coming to a full moon, so maybe, but I mean, I don't think it'll be dominant like it normally is where those guys are looking at them. So, I think it doesn't really matter if it would have changed or not, because those guys would have to be looking at a different, you know, stage or phase of the fishing anyway.
Yeah.
Do you guys know if Rodman's in play for this one? Is it legal for them to lock in and run to Rodman?
I think so, because I think it's out of the same launch.
Yeah, I assumed it was. I wasn't sure.
What is it? Sometimes not. Sometimes I don't know. Not allowed. Oh, okay.
Last time was the first time that I ever remember anybody like hearing about anybody in there. Like that was where John Cruise was for I think the first at least 2 days. I know he caught his big bag the first day out of there. And I think he ended up by the end of the week sort of shifting and focusing on the river. But yeah, I guess guys could have gone there and I just don't remember. But that was last year was the first time I remember hearing guys making that run.
Yeah, he went off the he had like was it a jerkbait or a chatterbait that he was throwing and then would watch the fish chase it out and then throw a drop shot or something like that. He had like a whole like a 1-2 punch when Cruz won.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he blasted 30 something the first day. And I think most of them came on the drop shot. And then that was slowly evaporating. And he kind of shifted to more kind of traditional shallow water. I think he was trying to chatterbait around pads last, at least the last day, maybe day and a half.
Yeah. Well, and Justin, you're a missile baits guy. Was after that win, him throwing the roboworm, was that him calling roboworm on the way home to make the magic worm collab?
I think it was the actual magic worm at that point. I think they had, it was like a perfect timing, like they had just come out with it, if I remember right. Because he had it in his color, missile morning. It's kind of like a morning dawn, but it's instead of the purple hue, it's more of a red. He calls it John's juice. Good color.
I just can't take it seriously. It's got those voices coming.
Well, that's John's juice. Got it.
John's juice. Trust got the paper bag, folks.
Actually, they did a little bait highlight on Ed Walfrand, however they say it. And he was holding one of those up too. But the funny thing is, that's the first time I've ever heard of that. Missile bait.
That bait?
Drop shot worm. Yeah. They call it magic worm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Never heard about it.
Brian Schmidt was using it. Was it Pickwick? Where he cut a top 10 at Pickwick I think it was last year. No, it was 2 years ago. And they all, the time runs all together now. I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure Schmidt had a really good finish with it. And then the little one came out last year at the Classic, and he finished second using the 4-inch different color, blueback secret, I think. But yeah, the missile guys have been doing pretty good on that thing.
It sounds like, according to Matt Boyd, that we need to make a shirt out of the paper bag. It should just be your face in the paper bag that just says, "Don't ask me about my fantasy fishing team."
I like it. I'll wear it. Yeah. I'll definitely wear that.
Hey, if you have a good event, you got to just keep it going then.
Yeah. So the question is,
or a bad event.
is the magic worm taking over the robo worm? Like, is that gonna come out of the because you got your box, right? The panic box in your boat. Mine's got robo worms in it. Purple drink. I mean, you gotta have some of them in there. They'll save your butt.
Yeah.
Does the missile worm, is it taking over? Not to go completely off track.
Yeah. It's still made by the robo worm guys. I think they're using missile specific colors, and then I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure John designed the worm to be a little bit different, so it doesn't have quite the same taper. It's got more of a bulbous tail, so you can throw it on a shaky head, a drop shot. I think he was looking to kind of make a do all kind of finesse worm. So it's still got that robo worm plastic. They're pouring it, so it's a collab.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's hard to beat. You got those go in the panic box. You got to have them robo worms.
Yeah, I think that's a staple for literally the entire country, regardless where you're at.
It'll save your butt too. If you can get your head out of your butt. Like if you don't fish like me, if your head is not in your butt, it'll save you.
All right. Well, I have a text here that the Sheikin might be joining us here shortly. So we can put her on the spot. Yeah, all hail. Cheater. No, I'm just kidding. I think he'll be deducted 200-300 points for each show he's missed so far this year. That'll make things even again.
It's the only way I'm gonna have a chance. you guys spot me like 1,000.
yeah, it's a bank system. You can borrow, you can loan.
Monopoly.
I'll trade you 200 fantasy fishing points for Drain the Lake points. Okay, so any other takeaways, guys, on this before we get into the buckets? I see the
title.
What weather is going to be? Yeah, I don't know. That's something I don't understand. I can't really speak to. In that regard, to the title.
I've never fished Rodman. I don't know if they have the same. Like, I don't know how significant the tidal swing is. Like, I've fished some places like Mid-Atlantic where it's, you know, foot and a half, 2 foot typically. I don't know if it's more or if it's comparable, or if it has the same effect as it does on those, like the ones kind of where I'm from. But I always find tides interesting.
Yeah, I got a feeling like this is going to be a Rodman / some of these backwater canals that we've seen, you know, Cox and the Johnstons do well in the past. So I think it's going to be one of those backwater things, like similar to what we saw KJ doing at the Harris Chain. I think that might be the most consistent thing we see, at least from a winning pattern standpoint. But granted, when you look at this event, going into it, there's been the two things at play, which is the sight fishing deal. This is, again, different time of year. The sight fishing deal, and then you have the Cliff Prince shell bar pattern, which makes you wonder if that's going to play more now, being that majority of these fish will be off-bed. So you might look into some offshore guys, might be even the one that Cliff Prince can pull out. It definitely seems like the St. John's River events have been the ones that keep him on the Elite Series, because he usually does so well in these events. But a really good offshore fisherman regardless. But I think that's going to be your most consistent pattern anyways. It's going to be some of these backwater creeks, canals, whichever you want to call them, backwater ponds. So, but all right. I think Sarah will join in whenever she can. I wonder if there's anybody that's new listening to this that thinks that Deacon's actually a chick, which is hilarious to me. All right, let me pull up. Let me pull up the buckets. Ah, he does it to himself. It's okay. We love them all the same. All right. So let's start E to A, and we will do its highest ranking to lowest ranking, right?
Yes.
All right, Boomer. Justin's going to pick everything you pick, Boomer.
I don't know. If I had a program to like doing well, it would be just throw them together as fast as you can. And I didn't. I actually did my homework on this one. So if I bomb it, I know what I'm going to go back to trusting.
Well, we didn't have a ton of time to prep for this one. It went live like what, an hour before? So it's not like,
well, you had Bucket. Yeah. Did you guys think Bucket E stunk? Like, especially without any percentages, I was like, man. But I did. I took Prince because I could not find somebody in there that I felt, you know, they got one less day of practice because of the weather day, right? So Prince is going to have the history. You're right. He can have a million bombs in a row, but send him to freaking St. John's and the dude catches him.
Yeah. So,
and it's outside of the norm. You know, the guys that might have been able to compete with some history because the elites are there all the time, they're so far away from that normal window, you know, February to April. So he seemed like the best bet. 100%. I love Clifford Perch. He'll be my caveat because he does well in this tournament, but I think he's usually looking at him. So
Yeah, when it's usually a sight fishing event, you gotta have Perch in there.
Yeah.
That dude can hunt. But two quick things is one, I usually have somebody in here to remind me to click the own percentage ranking. They're not in this chat, and I actually remembered about it. But then this is the one that we're literally so early to the game on the bucket. You know, there's nobody's picking these guys.
What would Brennan do? Brennan would be screwed. He can't go bored.
That's why he didn't show up tonight. He's gonna wait till Wednesday when the own percentages come up here. But yeah,
smart guy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. I'm also going Cliff Prince. Excuse me. On the fact that it's post-spawn, spends a lot of time, I don't know if recent, but is known to be spending a lot of time on St. John's River and probably knows it best out of the entire field. Offshore thing, I feel like those shell bars are going to play a little bit more now than in recent years. But there's definitely some other guys in here that I could see stand out, but we'll get into that after Justin makes his pick.
Oh, me? No.
That's you, paper bag.
Brown bag.
No, you guys make a good point. Good case for Prince. I went a different direction, though. I think the Elite Series angler that probably has a better track record. I don't know of anybody that has a better track record than John Cruz. Like you guys made a good point about a different time of year. It's always the past tournaments there have been earlier, but for whatever reason, like, that place, he's got some mojo there. He's got a bunch of top fives, including a win the last time they were there. And he's struggled a little bit as of late. And dude is very, very good. And I think, you know, it's kind of come full circle. He's back at a place where he just catches him, and he's going to get that mojo back, I think, this week and put up another strong finish.
Yeah, I can see that. See that also you can channel and pray to the bass gods that, you know, a guy that's won here, Rick Klun, and his 500th Bassmaster event. How awesome would that be? Stars aligned and Klun gets another dub. His 500th.
He's got event. Two there, doesn't he?
I think it's two.
Did he win it? I think it was a couple years apart, but didn't he? I thought he got two wins on the St. John's. Like, put up one year was a chatterbait, I think.
That was the last one.
Okay. And I thought it was maybe 2 years before.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that the last two winners are in Bucket E? Yeah, you know what I mean? The last two times they were there, it was Klun and John, and they're both in the bottom bucket.
Well, and all of Florida is in bucket E too. You got Cliff, Bernie, Scott, and then you got the winners there in bucket E. You got all the guys.
That's why I had such a miserable bucket.
Yeah, part of me was tempted to pick Scott. Like I've picked him a couple times this year, and I don't know if it's just, well, he's got the automatic berth already, so I feel like maybe that's a double-edged sword. Like you can fish freer, you can take some risks, but you know, high risk, high reward kind of thing. I don't know. Maybe it has nothing to do with it, but I'm not picking him anymore.
Yeah, I picked him for Harris, thinking, yeah, this dude's a lock for a top 35, and boy, was I wrong. I wonder if it was one of those things where I just jinxed the guy. But either way, a couple different good options for you guys there. Some bunch of people are saying Bob Downey in the chat. If old Bob can make it, you know, he might be just riding on top of the world. New dad, you know, the baby factor.
New dad.
It would be cool to have him miss an event and then he wins one. That would be kind of cool to see too. But, all right.
The new baby vibe's a good one. It's a tough one.
You got to roll with it. Well, what happened with Brandon? Has it worked for him?
The second baby doesn't count the same.
Well, did he win one with his first kid?
I mean, when Cora was born, he won Angler of the Year. So, yeah.
Oh, true. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Boomer. Well, speaking of the Polinic, I took him again. I took him over Bryant, Bucket D. I took him over Whatley. I could think this could be a Whatley tournament, but I struggled with this bucket really bad. But I kind of think Brandon's got enough experience and wisdom that he's not susceptible to streakiness. You know, some guys get streaky, they go downhill and they just stay there until they figure out how to not do it. And he's kind of up and down fishing this year, but I couldn't find somebody that, I mean, Brandon got 20th here last time they were there. He's really good at post-spawn fishing. I think he's one of the best. Either that or he'll find, you know, some leftover late spawners. So I know that's a gravy pick. He probably would have been pretty high up there, but I couldn't find anybody other than maybe Brian Schmidt that I thought was better. So I took the P.
Wonderful. Yeah. I got it right here, so it's not me copying you, Boomer. I would show the camera, but the last time I did, I showed my entire hand of picks. And I'm gonna spoil it. But I promise you, I have Brandon on here. I do have him picked. For that reason, also just for the pure fact, I lean Brian Schmidt a little bit, but I feel like I am the Brian Schmidt jinx where he always does well when I don't pick him. So for trying to be a good fan, I'm not going to pick him. Hey, the Sheikin's here. The Sheikin's here. We'll let her take her time whenever she wants to join in. You're in the lobby. We can't hear you. He's trying to talk to. There he is.
No, I was just gonna say, I cannot believe Justin actually wore the bag. He wasn't joking.
He won't take it off, either. Man.
That's no, really. I just made my little brother sit in and do it. And
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even Justin.
Justin's with a mic behind the scenes, just doing a voiceover of his brother in a paper.
Yep, bag. This isn't real.
That's wild.
Well, so Deacon, we're on D, but real fast, I'm going to make my pick here because I just announced it or forget.
So there's no percentage ownership, I'm seeing.
I know. We were just saying Brendan would have no idea what to do because he just takes the highest.
I think it made it easier, actually. Like, it took out a whole variable. Like, there's no, let me try to outthink everybody else. So maybe that'll help me. I don't know.
It's making it, like, I have to look at every angler a lot harder. I guess with my strategy of things, like I generally look at like the top 10 or so on percentages, make a pick. And then like every once in a while I'll run from that. But generally speaking, I feel like my picks are normally top 10 guys, not saying it's going to be one of those 50 percenters, but it's going to be someone that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Well, before we have Justin go here, give us your bucket E pick and then get into bucket D because we'll let Justin go last on bucket D still, seeing as though he had under 600 points. So out of just feeling bad for the paper bag, we'll have you do your bucket E and D.
Oh my gosh. Man, so bucket E has, first of all, some hammers in it. Also, just real quick, you know what I don't understand? I watched a lot of the event this weekend. I was stuck last minute doing taxes. Surprise, surprise. Anyways, it's wild to me how many mistakes Bassmaster has as a group as far as they're like, oh, that guy wasn't supposed to be in Bucket E. It's like, what do you mean? How do you mess that up? Like, I don't understand. Ronnie has made multiple times mentions on live to where like one angler, you know, I don't remember who it was in this case, but someone was like, oh, this person wasn't actually supposed to be in that bucket. They're supposed to be in a higher bucket or something, you know? Yeah. I don't know. Just been wild to me. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I feel maybe they just have so much going on that they don't, but like, I guess I don't know how the process works, you know?
Who'd we send the angry letters to?
Mm-hmm. Just DM Ronnie Moore and be like, hey, dude.
How wild is it that there's no rookies in Bucket E? Oh, I'm sorry. Cole Sands isn't a rookie, right? Is he second year?
It was last year.
Yeah.
There's no rookies in the top two, I don't think. If you want to find the rookies, you got to go all the way to A.
Well, that's actually a really good point. They're in there. I had meant to do it in the introduction. I completely went right over my head, but I wanted to do an update now that we're three events in of AOI, ROI. So I guess real fast, Deacon, give your pick for E, and then we'll segue to doing an update on AOI.
Okay. I've got Cliff Prince in E. You know, he's the guy that's known for St. John's, right? Like, he's made a bunch of money fishing just on St. John's in the Elite Series. And he fishes like the offshore stuff. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes.
That's my guy.
You're just taking my pick.
Oh, yeah. My. I haven't even listened.
It's like, oh, they picked him. I'm going to pick him now.
Yeah, I was literally just in the comments. I was just like, technical difficulties. Just waiting for your picks.
Yeah. Psych. Yeah.
I'm the only one that didn't copy Boomer.
Oh, yeah. So if you pick Polinick for D, Deacon, you're out.
Polinick scares me in Florida. I'm sorry. He just does. He can do. He seems to have figured it out better, but just kind of scares me in Florida.
Yeah.
So Bucket D. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bailey, with your segue.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say real fast. I forgot Andy was a good child and sent me his picks. So Andy for Bucket E has picked Rick Klun. So he's channeling the fish gods. For the 500.
I like it.
Wow. Definitely a little risky, but he will prove a superior badass if Rick Klun goes and wins this damn thing.
He had a great finish this past week. I think one of his highest finishes in a while. Wasn't he 20 something?
Where did he end up?
I thought he was 20. I thought I looked it up. Maybe I'm lying.
I'm fairly positive after day one, he was in 26 or something like that.
I could have sworn it was a top 20.
Because I had him on live, and he was catching him on a square bill, and that was super cool to watch old Klun cranking again.
20th place.
Yeah, wow. Good for Klun. Dude, another segue here. Did you guys see on live? I think it was Mercer that said it. But one, Klun is cranking on day one alive, and he has a giant 22-inch NBT marine screen on his boat. And said that his goal this year is to win an event scoping. Like, Klun wants to win one scoping.
I love it.
That's cool.
In Florida.
He's the definition of, like, embracing it.
Literally. Yeah, I mean, he said on Mercer's podcast that if nowadays, if they take away scope, you won't have the most well-rounded anglers anymore. He said that you can't find the best anglers if scoping's not involved anymore, which I thought that was fairly intriguing of a point. Really cool episode. If you guys want to go check out, I think it was the most recent one or two episodes ago with Klun on Mercer's show. You guys have to check that out. But before we go down that rabbit hole, let's do a little AOI update, which is pretty freaking wild. Here, let me actually share this tab. So we got, in our top 10, the biggest thing that stands out to me is holy rookies. Three events in. So we got 10 down. We have Corey Johnston, Stetson Blaylock, Patrick Walters, Chris Johnston. And then we have rookie number one, Kyle Patrick. Rookie number two, JT Tompkins. We got the classic champ, Justin Hamner. We got the OG back, Jordan Lees in third. Rookie number three, Tyler Williams. And rookie number four, the youngest on the entire trail, Trey McKinney, in the top spot.
Four of the top six are rookies. That's nuts.
It's insane. Absolutely.
Has that ever happened before?
I doubt it.
Yeah, but this is a different – this is a whole different breed of – it's not that they're any better than the rookies the years prior, but the platform, the way they made them run the nine, they all had the fish nine, that gauntlet. And if you look, a lot of times the rookies generally have a good first year. There's really a truth to the sophomore slump, but generally they come out swinging. They're just happy to be here. They got a whole lot of, you know, mm-hmm. finally made it. There's not a lot of the actual business that's encumberment that's on top of them. It's not till their second or third year that they really, I feel like, kind of have to really slow down a little bit. I think the way that they did the nine, these kids are not rookies.
Yeah.
I mean, especially this complete
time on the water. Yeah.
They're not yeah. Well, I talked about it with Brian today. Yeah, I was talking about it with Brian today. I said the difference is with the nine, you're talking about guys that have donated or they dedicated to it. They had to do all nine. But prior years, you could have – it was usually about half and half. You'd have three guys or four guys that qualified by doing all nine. But then you'd have a guy like Bryant who only had to fish three. You know what I mean? And so – he was already doing the MPFL, so he already had the travel stuff down. But just imagine a couple of those rookies that just fished three local regional events and didn't have dedicated that whole 9 week, you know, gauntlet. And then they jump in and they're rookies, but they're actually probably more true rookies than what this class is. This is a class of guys that already had all their money taken care of, already had all figured out, had nothing to worry about but being good at bass fishing. And then they got that long run of to get good at it. And yep. you're seeing it. I mean, Bass just created the Velociraptor rookie class. And you'll probably see another group like that next year, I think.
That's what they keep saying. They say, you think the one's good this year, wait till next year. I mean, we definitely heard that before, but I think now, like, if they're saying that and it's this good, man, it's going to be interesting to see what comes next year. But, yeah, pretty wild. Pretty well stacked roster. And then I guess for our rookie of the year race, let me pull that up real fast. We got Trey McKinney, Tyler Williams, JT, Kyle Patrick, obviously, just like ROI. And then John Garrett in fifth, rounding it out. Which that win definitely gives them a nice boost. And we'll see. It's a whole other schedule going into the rest of the year, too. So we'll see what goes on there. But getting back to the picks here, Deacon, Bucket D, what you got?
Yeah, Bucket D, someone who I haven't picked all year. And I think a lot of my strategy has been kind of leaning a lot on rookies. And first of all, I didn't even check. I know I missed the beginning of the show. Where did we end up as far as points in this last one?
Are you saying that to rub it in again, or are you genuinely curious?
No, yeah. I really don't know, Bailey.
You're
I saw your text.
You're said running you're away with it.
Yeah.
Really? Okay,
so to give you the rundown, Deacon, you are in the lead for both fantasy and Drain the Lake with 4,382. Andy's in second. Boomer's in third. I'm in fourth. Justin's in fifth. And Boomer is the caboose for fantasy fishing. And Drain the Lake, it is you in first, me in second, Brendan in third, Boomer in fourth, Justin in fifth, and Andy with his goose egg forgetting to do his picks last week in sixth.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out how to do the math on that because Andy did officially do his picks on live, which yeah, I did that first event last year, and we did the math to keep things even. So I'll go through and try to tally his picks afterwards, and I'll keep a spreadsheet to kind of keep that even, but. Sure. That's where it stands as of right now.
Got so, it.
Why does that, does that change your pick for Bucket D then?
Yeah, it changes it. No, I mean, okay. So I pulled up the just a total different time of year. Right. But I just think a lot of these Elite Series guys are very familiar with St. John's. Seems like it gets hit a ton. In 2022, Brandon did do well there. He finished 20th. First of all, but I am going to go with someone. No, I'm not. I'm going with Mr. Bill Lowen. He nice. Finished 13th there in 2022. The dude catches them everywhere. Has been super consistent. And I don't necessarily know. I'd love to know your guys' take too on how much scope is going to play at St. John's. I'm certainly, it will be a factor to some extent, but I just feel like when things get tough, he's a guy that catches him shallow. We saw plenty of that at the Harris chain going on for some guys in the top 10 anyway. So I'm going Bill Owen.
I like that
pick. I like it. Ohio yeah, River Roots. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see scope play a little bit. Just pure fact, looking back on it, like Walters, Scopin, and Rodman, like I think we might actually see deal. I think guys will do it, like what Cliff Prince will do. But I could honestly see some guys doing it on that perspective mode too, shallow. I could see maybe a little bit of that going on as well. But for Bucket D, Andy's pick is Mark Menendez.
Ooh. Another...
He's trying to separate himself.
Another guy with some history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good history.
It's going to be... He's got some interesting picks here. I won't let him out the bag, but I'm intrigued by Andy's lineup. But all right, Justin, round us out here.
I didn't copy anybody. I actually picked a different guy. Guy who's one of the best tidal river fisheries or tidal river fishermen, I think ever. Brian Schmidt. I had him picked to win in Florida. He didn't do so hot. He doesn't have very many bad events, especially back to back. I think you know he's good at the tidal rivers. Even if a lot of the grass is dead, I'm pretty sure there's going to be plenty of pads to throw at. I like Brian Schmidt here.
I do like that pick. God, I it's just crazy to me. We were talking about it a little bit earlier with Scott, but like Brian Schmidt on Harris Chain, you're like, yeah, that's a lock for a top 35. And that the, like, I think it was 74th or something like that. And it's like, man, what is going on with some of these guys? I mean, I think a lot of that was the change in Harris Chain, but like there was a couple like that were just really shocking guys that just didn't do well at the Harris Chain. But either way,
and I don't want to recap.
I had all of them. Else.
All the guys that didn't do well.
Yeah. My highest pick. What did I say it was, guys? Like 57th or something was my.
Your highest?
62nd. Yeah.
Was it? Okay. I tried to cheat a little.
We should have just given it to you. I'm sorry, man. We should have given that to you.
But 571 points.
This is not golf scoring, Justin.
Deacon, you missed it, but a monkey could have done better than me.
Honestly, yeah. Sometimes I think about that with fantasy fishing and like anything else. It's like the people who win in some of this stuff, it's like you just pick random ones. It's wild to me for like the actual wins, not consistency throughout the season, but I'm saying for like wins, like I don't know, stuff's wild to me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But all right. Anyways, what the point I was going to make, I think the difference on St. John's versus Harris Chain here from a perspective of the rookies, I do think you can't ever let or you can't ever not consider a rookie at this point in the Elite Series. But I will say I think Harris Chain was a little above that standard because of how often college events, how often the Opens have gone to Harris Chain. And I don't know if you talked about that already, but just thought that was different. This is really St. John's. St. John's is very Elite Series oriented. It seems to be an Elite Series hit over and over. So maybe, I don't know this, maybe you'll see a little bit of a more even traditional rookie to regular, hate to say that, regular veteran Elite Series guys. Yeah.
Drew Gregory made that point in the comments a little while ago. Said the same thing. Okay. Well, almost. Not exactly, but same idea.
Yeah.
Drew and I are on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Great minds.
I'm trying to remember now that we're on Bucket C. Was it highest finisher goes first, or was it lowest finisher goes first?
It's highest. It's kind of like cornhole, right? If you score all the points, okay. You got to go first. Yeah.
Just making sure. Okay. So with that being said, then, technically Andy won last week.
He did.
So I'll give Andy's pick here, and then we'll go to you, Deacon. And he went with Justin.
No, I beat Deacon. Didn't I beat Deacon last week?
Okay, we can go Andy, Boomer, Deacon. Yes.
I just want to make sure. I want to take the small victories and really savor it.
You need something to base my picks off of, Boomer. So this is
Yeah. You're helping him cheat now, Boomer.
Sorry.
But Andy went with Justin Atkins. Intriguing pick here.
He does have some goofy ones, doesn't he?
Yeah. He would yell, if I had Atkins, he'd yell at me. He would yell at me.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I feel like this is classic Andy where sometimes he throws a pick and ever you're like, what? But like, hey,
yeah.
Sometimes it works out.
And then watch, he'll win the damn event.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Boomer, you're up.
I got Cox, John Cox.
God, I knew it. Copying me.
I kind of feel like he's fighting the forward imaging war fairly well. Like he's got some pretty, he doesn't have any bombs. I mean, he's hanging in there. Did pretty good in a couple of the earlier events. Like his Amistad MPFL event was good. So he's kind of hard not to pick. I know that if the percentages were up, he'd be in the top three.
Oh, he'll be top one in this group. Yeah. I'm fairly positive.
And he does well there too. Like that's the other factor. It's like, it's not just all that. Like he's phenomenal in Florida. You can't count him out ever. Like
second last trip, I believe.
Mm. Yeah, 2022, he finished fourth. Wow, Bob Downey finished second.
Nope.
That's interesting.
I'm wrong. He was second going into the last day then.
Got it. Got it.
All right, Deacon.
I've got Cox as well, man. Exactly the same mindset. Like, also the other thing you got to think through is, I don't know, today I was watching live. First of all, love Monday lives. I think that that's a really cool thing that Bassmaster does when it does happen. But I watched some of KJ Queen fishing for a bedfish today. And I think that, like, you know, places like Florida, places like the Western fisheries, the Delta, those kinds of things, like such a population of fish that they just spawn throughout the entire season. Like, yes, they're spawning in January, but there's still some spawning now. Not to say it's going to be the winning pattern, but if John Cox rolls across a bedfish or two and then junks his way to a good bag, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I think in this one, just to kind of make this easy, I did not pick Cox for Harris Chain, and I've learned my lesson of not picking John Cox in Florida. And I swear to God, he's right here on my paper. I'm going with John Cox.
You and I have the exact same. So
wait, far, are we 3 for 3, Boomer?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Should I show my paper just to prove that I'm
not? No, I don't. I trust you.
We'll see you in the next
Adam.
Season.
Adam, I don't.
Yeah.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
I don't have any additional insight, but I went with John Cox as well. I
feel everyone like except even Andy? If,
yeah.
Watch, Andy's Cox is going to bomb and Atkins is going to top 10.
See, that's the thing is I don't. I think that's part of why I picked him is I don't think he'll bomb. I think, you know, even if he doesn't, you know, he might not make the top 10 cut, but I see him making the cut. I just don't see a world where he doesn't make it to fish day 3.
Yeah. I could see a Drew Cook doing well here, a Kenta. I could see I got a weird feeling about Clark Winlett just for, out of the pure fact that of history and how many times he's been here.
Didn't Hackney have a pretty good, or maybe I'm confusing it with.
Hackney's a lock. But
flipping the trees, Cypress.
Yeah. All right. Bucket B. Gosh dang, why am I picking so similar to people? Andy has Brandon Lester.
Yeah.
Cheating. That's cheating.
It is cheating. I don't know how.
That was the one that I was torn with. I didn't go Lester, though, in case anyone's wondering.
Thank you, paper bags.
But I also was torn with that one.
I mean, it was so much freaking fun watching him on live a couple days, throwing that swim jig on windblown banks. That was a fun freaking bite to watch. But, yeah, I can understand that. In regards to Lester, I just think when he gets momentum going, he's just like when it comes straight up fishing, putting electronics to the side, like Brandon Lester is going to play. Like it's gonna happen. But all right, Deacon, what do you got? Or sorry, Boomer.
I got a massive audible. I got Paul Mueller.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any reason why?
I think he's fishing downhill. He does good in Florida. Did good last week. He's kind of like one of those guys that nobody ever talks about. I think Lester's been kind of streaky, so I didn't take him this time. But, yeah, it was kind of one of those gut, you know what? So I dug around a little bit, and I just kind of feel like Mueller is a – I mean, you know the guy can win. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Mueller.
Didn't he – where did he win? Was it St. John's that he won? He won something in Florida.
Yeah, he won – 2022, it was John Cruz.
I don't think he's won in Florida, has he?
Oh no, he did. He won a river deal, and it was sweet because he like went into an arm that he wasn't really thinking about, and he was punching them. Like it was, I remember that. It was early in the year.
Yeah, it was St. John's. That boy said St. John's and Lanier.
What year was it in St. John's?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
St. John's.
I'll find it for you. I'm on it, like Blue Bonnet.
Wasn't there a clip that was circulating for a long time of him catching a giant somewhere like on the last day on a crankbait?
St. John's.
That was Neely. That was Neely Henry.
2020 AFCO. Okay.
But that wasn't for the win.
No, that Neely Henry event, West Logan won.
Yeah, that's right. He got like a giant crank, and I do remember that. That was cool.
Yeah, a six because like Bass plays it in their intro.
Yeah.
It was early in the year, though. Times. Yeah, it was February 8th and 10th through the 10th in 2020. But it makes me even feel better about my pick. I didn't even get that far down in the homework.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right, Deacon.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling a little bit hesitant with this pick, but he did well the last time they were here too, which shouldn't be a factor that has burned me in past years. I have been paying less attention to how guys have done in the past, but I went with Taku, man. He finished 11th the last time they were here. And he just catches fish, even though he doesn't like largemouth. He just catches fish in general, scoping, not scoping, whatever it may be. He also rarely bombs, knock on wood, in my eyes. So that's another reason kind of strategically wise of like, hey, trying to keep the lead here. I don't need big, you know, 90th place finishes. Now that I said that, he's probably going to finish 90th. So great.
You jinxed it.
Okay. Hey, and one quick question, just because I know bucket A is loaded with rookies. Do they have the guys who fish today? They have a shortened practice to go into this next week, right? Like they're only fishing.
Everybody does.
Practicing. Oh, no one could have practiced.
Yeah, nobody's practicing today. Yep.
Okay. That makes me feel
nice.
So they don't have an off day now, or what's the situation?
No, yeah, everybody has one less day of practice.
So they have 2 days of practice.
They're only getting 2 days of practice. Yeah. So that'll mess with you a little bit when you think about, did you see that?
Yeah, it was balloons.
Was
it your birthday?
No, but that was wonderful.
Party on, Sheikin. Party on. all right. So I want to. Oh, gosh. If I already put my picks on paper, but I haven't said them out loud, can I change them?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Damn it. You own the show. It's your show. Dude, you do whatever you want.
No, it's not. You haven't entered until you say it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You good.
I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna go J Powell. I'm gonna go Jacob Brosnick here.
Damn it, you copied me.
Dude, you haven't said it. You can change it yet. Cheater.
I was like, nobody. I thought I had a sneaky pick. It's like, ha, I'm gonna be original. No.
Turns out. I did have in full truth on paper here. I have Brandon Lester, but then I just got starting thinking about it more and more. And I'm like, the way this is setting up and the way I was talking about earlier was I think that it's going to be a Rodman / Backwater deal. I think Poroznik sets up perfect for that. And I don't know where we lost Boomer, but he got
Ruh-roh.
But either way, probably, I could see. Probably hitting that break. Yeah. Yeah, at least it wasn't the crotch shot camera like the last time
when the old crotch shot.
But yeah, I'm going Prozdick, man. I could just see him getting the old wacky, similar to a John Cox in this case.
I was thinking along the same lines. He's another Virginia guy. I got three. He's my third Virginia pick. Cruz, Schmidt, Prozdick. We got a couple title fisheries. I know he fishes the James, Potomac. So I feel like he'll be at home in the tidal water. And if he does run across a great big bed fish, I don't think there's too many guys better at catching them than him.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. That's how he's won. Whoa. You had a crazy blurry.
I took my headphones this time so I could hear what everybody was saying.
Oh, you heard us talking crap?
Deacon wanted a crotch shot. I thought that was weird.
Hey, Sarah, man. She's a rowdy one.
Anyways. My worst fear is I better run to the bathroom and then I don't mute my headphones.
You're peeing. Boomer's just ripping ass in the background.
the worst thing would be yelling at the dog and using the bathroom. Yeah, never mind. All right.
Boomer's not only alpha when it comes to rods, he's alpha in the bathroom too.
Anyways,
moving on.
Once again, I derailed the whole thing. Sorry.
It's all good. That's what the show's all about. Okay, bucket A. Andy has Chris Johnson.
I think that's a great
pick. Not bad. Not bad.
I was tough thinking through that one. I think the Johnson guys are way overlooked in Florida.
I can't stop laughing with Justin's paper bag where he's just like, not bad. Not bad.
It's really uncomfortable.
It's probably getting kind of sweaty in there. Starting to smell.
You're just going to wear it for the whole year, and it's just going to get like more shredded the longer the season goes. Just the bag's just going to be in half by the time we get to St. Lawrence. But all right, Boomer, what do you got?
I took Trey McKinney. This thing is kind of hard not to now.
Riding the wave.
Like I think I took him at the beginning of the year. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I took JT. And that kind of burned me a little bit. But I think it's just hard not to. I think that's a crazy momentum train. So, and this is a horrible bucket. Like everybody in this could do amazing. So,
yeah, right.
I bet he would be one of the highest picks if percentages were up. But just watching how he's just kind of floating around catching bass, like sometimes you just can't bet against that. So, and I need some help. Catch up with Deacon.
The Sheikin.
Right, but Chris Sheikin. Johnston, just to let you guys know, Chris Johnston was on my team last week and it was a good pick. So,
yeah.
Because what did he get, 24th or something like that?
Yes, indeed.
He doesn't
miss. He won in Florida, right? First Canadian to win, wasn't it? Was it St. John's?
I thought it was.
Because wasn't that Paris the tournament?
First Canadian. You mean the FLW one or the Bass? Because I don't think it was.
The Bass one.
Yes, it was St. Lawrence.
First Canadian to win was
St. Bourne.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he won the FLW.
I thought I watched him win one, like Patrick Walters' rookie year, maybe. When Lee Livesey flipped over the dock and was, like, reaching under the dock to grab the fish, to pull it. Like, was that an FLW event? Am I?
Might have been FLW.
All right. Maybe I'm wrong.
I still can't get over the paper bag.
You guys still remember? I'm pretty sure it was Livesey's rookie season. He flips over like one of those docks and he hooks like a five, and then he's has to get his boat up against it and he's like reaching under trying to grab the line. you guys don't remember?
No. Looks like it's straight out of like a cartoon book.
I can't do it.
I'm just having a hard time reading his emotions, you know. I just can't.
Yeah, he's got a really good poker face.
Yeah, I don't know if he's telling a joke or if he's mad that we're not catching up here. I can't read you right now.
I'll add some expression next week. I'll do
you need a marker.
Big frown.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll add just facial hair.
Like or cut, draw a happy face on one side and spin it around with an unhappy face, and you could just rotate it around. Yeah.
You should just take a Sharpie and just write real-time emotions onto your bag as you're sitting right there.
I'll just write some little cards and then hold up the one that I'm feeling. Sad.
Here we go. Content series idea. Matt Boyd says we got to have YouTube shorts with him with the bag giving fishing advice.
What you want to do is put your bait in the water and then the fish.
Yeah. Step one, fish with a hook.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I was actually going to totally sidebar of that. I don't know if you guys have seen, I give applause to more pros that are trying to do a better job on social media and things like that. But I was talking with actually Andrew Hayes at Tackle Talk. I'm like, I'm going to start before every podcast now. I'm going to do a clip of me saying, hey, guys, we're here. Bailey, Ike, Brett, we're about to do a podcast. You know, it's sunny outside. We're going to see what happens, see where the cards fall. You know, like the same YouTube or the same Instagram reel that every pro does before tournament day. They're like, hey, day two here. We're sitting in so-and-so place. We're catching them how we want to. Let's see what happens. Start doing that before every podcast.
Funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that was stupid. All right. Deacon.
Man, I am going with what Matt Boyd Fishing is saying here in the comments. Yeah, the short shorts, man. Oh, wait.
That's the wrong comment. Nope. That's the bag of rice.
He had another one. Yep, he had one up here somewhere. There we go. Short shorts would be a factor. Patty Walters, hard to beat. So I'm looking for consistency in this bucket. I have no rookies picked in my fantasy, which this may be a problem because I think in every tournament this year I've had a rookie. But I just feel like for some reason this event is going to be kind of some of the guys who spent a lot of time there, especially short in practice. And Patrick Walters does well there. I think he had a top 10 the last time they were there. And just so versatile, man. Hard to like not bet against him. Like if you were to, like if there was a prop bet right now and it was like, Adam, do you believe Patrick Walters is going to be in the top 25 or not? Like every single time, probably I'm going to throw money at Patty being above the top 25. That's what I'm looking for.
Not to be contrarian, but it's not hard for me not to pick him. I had him last week.
Yeah, that was crazy. Well, and his classic finish wasn't great either.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great.
But he's another one that doesn't have bad ones back to back very often. So
no.
To defend Deacon, and also segue to say that I also picked Walters, is 2022, 7th place, 2021, 4th place, 2020, 10th place. Three top tens at the St. John's River. I believe each one he was in Rodman. Talk about one, having a good feeling going into a fishery, but two, being able to spend that much time. And when you're catching fish on a fishery, you get to understand what those fish are doing a little bit better than when you go to a fishery and you suck, where it's obviously this is the angler versus the fish, but I feel like to Deacon's point, consistency here, I think he's just going to have a better idea of where these fish are going to go this time of year compared to recent years. So with that, again, that was also my segue to say I also took Patrick Walters.
That was great reasoning.
Who did Andy have? I've forgotten already.
Chris Johnson.
Ah, that's right.
All right, Bagman.
Hey, I got a unique pick again. I went with a hot hand. He's back from the MLF side. He's having a great year so far, sitting in the top three in points. And I gotta go Jordan Lee. He's feeling it. He's back home. And also he has fished out of a kayak at least once, because I saw a YouTube video and I fished out of a kayak. So
I saw a YouTube video.
I saw a YouTube video once.
Yeah. So maybe
I feel like Jordan is in that feel right now where he's just happy where he's at, where it's kind of like a, I think BP is eventually going to get things back on track here in regards to consistency. But like a couple of years ago, BP, it seemed like wherever you go, he was a lock for a top 30. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't matter what was happening, what was going down. He was going to catch him. And I feel like that's where Jordan's headspace is at right now. I feel like you can't go wrong with a Jordan right now. Where I feel like if he makes the classic next year in Texas, I mean, if I can make a pick already for Texas, I'm going to have my dollar bet on Jordan Lee.
But yep.
I think it's a great pick.
But if he does bad this week, we'll know whose fault it is.
Yeah, it's the bag man's fault. Dig it. Well, beyond that, obviously there's so many rookies in here. Tyler Williams, JT Tompkins, Kyle Patrick, Trey McKinney. Oh. Wesley Gore. Yeah. Is it all of them? No, it's not all of them. Can't be. Wait, one, two.
I think they're missing Robert Gee.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
He's in bucket B.
Gosh, that's crazy. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of great picks in here. But I think the ones that we picked definitely stand out. I would say, got a feeling about Cooper Gallant, you know, on that Canadian trend. A good dude that just seems to catch him everywhere. But yeah, this one is going to be intriguing because I don't think we've seen the St. John's here with the live show and everything this time of year. So I think it's going to be a pretty intriguing live to watch.
Agreed.
I agree.
All right. Super excited for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. With that, now that we wrapped up the buckets, let's kick off to weight, and I'll lead that off. I had 80 to 12. We can go down. Bagman, what you got?
88.8.
88. Okay. Deacon?
Man, I am going to bump mine up a little bit here just because I did not realize, too. Now I'm looking at the total weight that Mr. John Garrett had. I didn't know where it was going to end up, but it was low 80s. I anticipate it being similar to that. I'm going to say 78.4.
I think Andy had 78. What do you have? Andy had 78.6.
Wow.
Like mines. What do you got, Boomer?
85 flat.
85 flat. All right. Mm-hmm. It was rather actually... Well, never mind. Justin had 88. I was going to say it was pretty close in regard to weights here, 82 to 85, or 78 to 85, I should say. What do you guys think Big Fish is going to be?
Good question. What was it at Paris?
Was it a 10-4? Was Poroznik's 10-pounder on?
Poroznik. It was on a bed, too. Did you guys hear that story?
Oh, no, do tell.
No, first flip, too. Just burning down the bank, saw it. Bryant's fish, his big one that saved his butt, was a first flip 6-pounder on a bed.
Dang. First flip. Gosh, I love that fish.
Yep. Turn around, go back around and catch them.
Not fair.
Mm-hmm. Not fair. That's the way I feel about bed fishing. I've got a derby this weekend that I think could go that way. And our only practice day is going to blow like 35 miles an hour. And I'm already a bad bed fisherman. So it's like, man, I want to go look for him. I'll look for him. All right. I'll be surfing right over him.
Derby day.
Yeah.
Matt Boyce says he thinks it's going to be 11 pounds.
There's some monsters in freaking St. John's, too.
What's leading right now?
Rodman, too. I think they've got Keeners out of Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
Hamner's has to be leading the season, right? 11, whatever his was from Fork.
Was that the big one in Fork? Was 11?
I think it was 11 something because it was the biggest one said ever on Bass Live.
Yeah, it has to
be. It's the biggest. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go 9-3. I think it's going to be the biggest one. What do you got, Bagman?
Oh, I didn't even pick. 9-15.
Okay. Deacon?
Man, I think it's going to just barely go over 10. So 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
10-5. I'm going to go over Deacon 10-5. I don't, if you look at St. John's too, Harris Chain had that. You always had to have a big one, right? I think St. John's is more of a level playing field as far as average size. So if you catch one of those big ones, like a 10 like that, I think it really, you know what I mean? Like an average 15, 16 pound bag on Harris chain is generally a bunch of 2 pounders and a 5, right? Mm-hmm. St. John seems like guys will catch 2 or 3 of those big ones. And I know that's bedding season, but
they're there.
That's my, yeah, they're there. They got some big ones in there.
Okay. All right. Let's run through Drain the Lake and then we can wrap this sucker up. We'll go with the leader, Deacon. What you got for Drain the Lake?
Drain the Lake. I have back to it here. Okay. Come on. There we go. I have what the heck? Okay, yeah, there it is. Dude. Corey Johnston, Cliff Prince, Bernie Schultz.
Wait. You picked Corey Johnston, not on the St. Lawrence?
I did.
Damn, stout.
Because I'm thinking, and yeah, I could be way off here. I think I heard on the episode you guys did last week, Brennan say he's learned to spread, and maybe I shouldn't be listening to advice from Brennan, let's be real
here.
Number one.
Poor Brennan.
but Brennan has said, he said, I've learned to spread out some of these northern hammers throughout the year because I end up throwing them all to St. Lawrence or all, and it, like most of the time works out. But these guys do well throughout the season. So I do have one northern guy in this event, and that's Corey Johnston, Cliff Prince, and then I've got Bernie Schultz, Brandon Lester, Bob Downey, Colby Krieger, Bryant Smith, and Pat Schlapper.
I dig it. I got old Clun, Kenta, Colby Krieger, Brandon Lester, Cliff Prince, Jay Powell, Bernie Schultz, and Patrick Walters. Boomer, who do you got?
Cruz, Garrett, Patrick, Kyle Patrick. I had to have a rookie in there. Cliff Prince, Patty Walters, Brad Watley, Bill Lowen, and Brandon Lester.
You got, Justin?
I got John Cruz, Brandon Lester, Wes Logan, friend of the show, Bill Lowen, Dave Mullins, Jacob Rosnick, Cliff Prince, Rick Klun.
I feel like that was pretty on par, everybody's. We definitely had like a same 4 or 5 names in there.
Yeah. There was some crossover.
Yeah. Well, fellas, any other takeaways, anything to look forward to for the St. John's River event that we might not have touched on already? I feel like we covered a lot of it.
I'm kind of bummed. This is the one I'm going to be one of the first elites that I will be on the water and I don't get to watch a bunch of live. So
I'm going to be in Vegas. And unfortunately, I'm kind of thinking the same thing, except in the mornings, I'll be watching a lot of live.
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
And I'm not going to say that I'm picking sides one side or the other, but I will give kudos to Bass. I feel like they're taking on all of the BS, the two sides of everything, and they're putting out a pretty – it's fun to watch. Like, they're doing a good job.
So, yeah.
I agree.
Agreed.
Yeah. Not that I don't like the other side. I'm just saying, in such a polarized environment, I feel like they're killing it. Lots of good, fun fish catches, different ways of catching them, you know what I mean? So
production obviously just definitely stands out. And we've always been an adamant of being a fan of both trails going on right now. But it was another one of those weeks where I would wake up and like I wake up and I know as soon as 8 o'clock Eastern hits, I'm gonna have Bass Live on, where I totally forgot until like 11:30 in the morning that there was an event going on at Dale Hollow. Which, shocker, Wheeler wins again. I don't think anyone's surprised. Deacon and I were literally talking about, we're curious the ratio of wins that DC and Wheeler have of total events on the BPT, which is probably astounding.
I'm not even going to say wins. I think just if you looked at the money earned and payouts given out since BPT has started, I would love to know that number. I feel like it's a high percentage of those two.
Was it Ken Duke on the Bass After Dark last week? Did I can't remember if he mentioned the average amount, and I don't know if he actually looked it up or if he was just ballparking it, but it was insane. It was like 30 or 40,000 like per event they were averaging. And again, I could have just totally made that up, misremembered it, but I just remember it being amazed that you're walking away with an average of that, you know, with the competition the way that it is. Like, that's just unheard of to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, dude, you look at those names and it's like, damn.
I think the Red Crest coverage was pretty good. Like, it was pretty funny to watch DC get on a roll, and it was that guy's got his mallet, and when he swings it, it's over. You know what I mean? It just starts rolling with him. He's pretty fun to watch.
Crushed. He's also the only guy that I can think of, and you know, maybe you guys can remember somebody that I'm forgetting, but he's the only guy I can think of that ever ran down Kevin Van Dam on the last day of a tournament. Like, where KVD was smashing him, and I can't remember the name of the fishery, but I remember Connell punched up a big one the last day.
And oh, it was a bass event. I remember
That was a Ross.
That was his first win, like his rookie year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember so many other times where KVD like just pulls away or tracks down the leader. Like, he was unbeatable for a time. And that was the first time that I saw him like not close an event that I can remember.
Yeah. I think it was Ross Barnett. That was his win on bass.
Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
I've never seen anybody set the hook harder with a spinning rod than DC. Actually impressive.
Fujita too, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's Fujita. It's like cracking the damn whip on the thing. Like the clip of him at St. Clair where he's reeling his bait back in, one busts up on the surface and he opens a spool, and then it's just like, dude. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I was throwing 6-pound tests. And I'm like, what? Like, what?
Well, that first event that he was catching them, he was reeling them in like I act when I'm hung up on a rock. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, gosh darn it. You know, like just ripping it. I'm like, I find him a little bit more than that, bro. Like,
Well, I think it came out that he was throwing like 17-pound braid and 15-pound fluoro or something crazy. So he was just yanking on them.
Yarded them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Impressive stuff, but boys, fun event as always. Hopefully, us that sucked at the Harris Chain will turn it around and make some things interesting for the rest of the event. But like we said earlier, it's only four in, and there's 10 total, so we still aren't even at the halfway point for Fantasy Fission. So, no pressure, Deacon. But congrats, you're at the top so far, going into the halfway point. Thanks, of coach. The year. Thanks, Coach.
Put me in, Coach.
All right. Well, folks, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Fellas, fun time as always. And we will see you guys on the next one. Peace. Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you like some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanger fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.